It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Under a bill that's expected to be signed soon by Colorado's governor, all nine of the state's electoral votes would go to the winner of the national popular vote, no matter who actually wins Colorado. They'd be the 12th state to adopt such a measure, along with the District of Columbia. It's known as the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. It would take effect when its members add up to 270 electoral votes. Right now, they're at 181 if you count Colorado, with more states working on adopting the plan. A lot of you have weighed in on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tyrone writes, "The entire state of California didn't vote for Clinton, so why should she be credited with winning the entire state? Likewise, the entirety of Wisconsin didn't vote for Trump, so why should he be credited with winning the entire state?" Tyrone says, "The Electoral College distorts the results and ignores the preferences of Americans to do so." And Camille writes, "The Electoral College is a brilliant way to run our elections. Popular vote means a few large cities run the country. The Electoral College allows the entire country a voice in the process." Seth Maskett is a political science professor at the University of Denver. He's a weekly columnist for the Pacific Standard and the founder of and contributor to Vox.com's Mischiefs of Faction blog. Seth, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the arguments for and against this idea of the national popular vote, how would it work as states have been passing this?
Well, the idea is that once there are enough states to form a majority in the Electoral College that have joined this compact, then theoretically it kicks in and becomes effective. And all those states have agreed that they will cast their Electoral College vote with the candidate who has won the popular vote nationwide. So regardless of how that individual state voted, they would simply send enough all their electors to the popular vote winner. And with a majority of the Electoral College then following suit, then in theory, the Electoral College no longer matters. It's just whoever wins the popular vote wins the presidency.
But this is a bit of a workaround, because even if you don't like the Electoral College, it's still going to be there, short of, I guess, a constitutional amendment, right?
That's correct. And, you know, getting together the support to actually amend the Constitution to get rid of the Electoral College would be very challenging. Probably prohibitively difficult. So this is basically a workaround. It's still consistent with the Constitution. It just sort of makes that makes the Electoral College basically irrelevant rather than getting rid of it.
And a key step here is, as a state passes this, if a state passes this, they don't start doing it right away. They don't start doing it until enough states, as you were saying, there are enough states to win an election, because otherwise they'd potentially be throwing their state's votes the opposite way.
Correct. Yeah. The decision on this is that it doesn't become effective until there's enough states to form a majority of the Electoral College. Right now, there's only around 90, or there's still about 90 Electoral College votes worth to go. So quite a few states would still need to sign off on this.
All right. We've had this movement around for a while now, just over a dozen years, I think. What's the argument from supporters? Why do they say we need to get away from relying on the Electoral College, bring it to the popular vote through this method?
Well, as they point out, two of the last five presidential elections, we've seen the popular vote winner not win the presidency because of the Electoral College. And, you know, there may have been perfectly good reasoning for that in the 1780s. It made perfect sense as a political compromise at that time. But we've come to expect, much more democratic behavior in the American government. And the whole idea that the American electorate is competent to do all these sorts of things, but somehow isn't competent to actually pick its own president, that should be left up to an electoral college. It just seems sort of inconsistent with the ideas of a modern democracy. And that also having essentially the less popular candidate take the presidency, which again has happened a few times recently, potentially causes a legitimacy crisis. If this continues to happen and you have most people picking one person and the presidency going to another, people start to kind of lose faith in a democratic system at that point. And it's potentially a dangerous area for a democracy to find itself.
Now, Seth, you've had front row seats to this debate there in Colorado. Did this feel like an angry, heated kind of debate, or was this kind of a back burner issue that just kind of made its way through?
No, it got some attention. I mean, you know, Colorado legislators, even when they're pretty polarized, tend to be kind of polite about these things. But there was it was pretty strongly partisan one, a partisan bill that was working its way through, and you know, mainly Democrats who were backing it, and mainly Republicans who were opposing it, and offering, you know, both moral and kind of constitutional reasoning on both sides.
This, as you mentioned, it's happened a couple times that the popular vote winner lost in the Electoral College. Both times that happened in recent elections, it was the Democrat winning the popular vote and then not proceeding to become president. Is that part of why this is becoming or being seen at least as a partisan issue?
Definitely. You could. So it wouldn't be that hard to imagine, say, in 2004. That was a fairly close presidential election. All would have had to happen, maybe, you know, 30 or 40,000 votes shifting in Ohio, and John Kerry could have won the presidency but lost the popular vote, defeating George W. Bush. Had that happened, basically, had you have two successive elections where each party was, you know, essentially robbed of the presidency by the Electoral College, I think we would have seen pretty quickly a bipartisan national movement to get rid of the Electoral College. But right now, it seems to systematically disadvantage the Democrats, who, you know, can kind of run up their popular vote numbers in some of the more populous states, but not get any Electoral College credit for it. And so it's become a pretty partisan issue as a result.
Before we get into the arguments against this idea of a national popular vote, one weird possible wrinkle, if a state votes to support this idea and then other states do it and it kicks in, state governments change and a future legislature could vote to get rid of it. Is there a provision for opting back out if one state brings this back under 270 electoral votes? I know I'm bringing up a real hypothetical there.
I think that is a legitimate hypothetical, and I honestly don't know the answer to that. I think that should the state government change hands, which happens with some frequency, I think there might be attempts to get out of the compact, and it's not clear what the provision is for doing that. I'm also sort of curious, honestly, the enforcement of this, I find a little, well, I just have a lot of questions about it. For example, imagine, you know, so Colorado's democratically controlled state legislature has just approved this bill. Let's say Donald Trump somehow wins the popular vote nationwide in 2020, but loses the vote in Colorado. In theory, Colorado's legislators, you know, would then be pledged to vote for Donald Trump, even though, you know, this is a democratically controlled legislature and their own constituents have voted against Donald Trump. This puts them in a real bind. You know, this is an unenviable political situation to find themselves in, and I'm sort of curious what actually happens in that situation.
We're talking about the idea of a national popular vote. It has passed in a handful of states now, Colorado, the most recent, New Mexico, working on it. The idea that a state would award its electoral college votes to whichever presidential candidate gets the most popular votes nationwide. Seth, let's get into some of the objections to this idea. What are some of the biggest arguments you're hearing for going with the electoral college as it is?
I mean, they're just sort of the kind of classic arguments for having an electoral college in the first place, which is that, you know, the nation was founded not necessarily as a simple popular democracy, but as a collection of states, and that those state identities are important. And so, you know, even if some states like California, New York, or Texas are, you know, have a lot of people in them, that doesn't mean that they should get to decide who the president is on behalf of everyone else. And so essentially, you know, the Electoral College provides some extra representation for smaller, more rural states, you know, the Dakotas, Wyoming, Nevada, and other relatively small states. Get a little bit of an extra representational advantage. And it simply means that, you know, a presidential candidate can't really run up the vote in just one part of the country. They're kind of committed to a campaign across a lot of different areas.
Right. That's an objection we've heard, in fact, from our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page, the idea that, hey, if you're going for popular votes, why would you campaign anywhere but where there's a lot of people? Am I going to go to, you know, New York or Los Angeles or, I don't know, Wyoming or Hawaii? It's going to, those smaller states are really going to see nothing when it comes to presidential campaigns.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's certainly a concern. You know, on the other hand, we see, you know, the most populous states right now, and again, I'm talking California, New York, Texas, are basically ignored in general presidential elections right now, simply because they're not assumed to be competitive. So a lot of the campaigning occurs where not that many people live.
Looking at the future of this idea of a national popular vote, Republicans control more state legislatures around the country, often in these smaller states that worry about being ignored. Is that an insurmountable roadblock for this idea?
Not necessarily. The simply because some of the larger states contain so many electoral college votes. So that, you know, it is, and, you know, just the fact that Democrats have won electoral college majorities in the not too distant past suggests that, you know, the votes are potentially there for this sort of a compact to pass. But, you know, whether they'll actually get that together and how many years it would take to do that remains a little bit uncertain.
Bigger picture. Under the Constitution, states have maybe more latitude in how they arrange their electors and electoral votes and elections in general than we might assume. Can you talk about how much wiggle room individual states have?
Well, the Constitution really affords states the ability to decide how they want to allocate their electors. I mean, there's a lot of norms that have developed over the years. 48 of the states do it on a winner-take-all system. Whoever gets the most, whichever presidential candidate gets the most votes in that state gets all of the electoral college votes. States don't have to do it that way, but simply, you know, most have chosen to do that. And honestly, there's no real rule saying that it has to be done by a vote. In theory, the state legislature can simply decide who the electors are, regardless of how their citizens vote. This would be considered a huge affront, but there's nothing in the Constitution preventing that today.
Was there a bigger variety of methods early on before those norms developed?
Yes, earlier some states did it by popular vote. Some states did it through the legislature. In Colorado, I believe, the very first time it cast its votes in a presidential election was just a few months after its statehood in 1876. The state legislature decided at the time there wasn't enough time to organize an actual election. So the legislature simply sent all three of its electoral college votes for the Republican in that, which ended up being a fairly hotly contested presidential election.
And finally, Seth, do you see momentum out there for national popular vote as Colorado is in, other states thinking about the idea?
There certainly seems to be more attention paid to it. And I think people are more thinking about this as the 2020 election approaches. Now, I there's very little chance that this compact would affect 2020. But as people look around at the polls, you know, particularly Democrats are looking at you know, what the electoral map looks like for 2020 and saying, here's yet another election where the Republican could lose the popular vote and still retain the presidency. So I think they're sort of thinking about some longer term solutions. And this is probably the number one on their list right now.
Seth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Seth Maskett is a political science professor at the University of Denver. We talked to him about the growing number of states joining the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. Colorado is about to become the 12th, bringing the total number of electoral votes to 181. It needs 89 more electoral votes to take effect. How do you think the president should be elected? Should we keep the Electoral College in place or go by whoever gets the most popular votes? You can keep the conversation going on the Ideas Network Facebook page.